This podcast was recorded Wednesday, August 2nd at 10:30 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Like Ohio will decide to hold all of its elections in August. This one seems to be pretty popular, and it gives us something to talk about during these dog days. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those snollygosters, those shrewd politicians looking for your vote as the temperature approaches 90 degrees in Ohio. I'm Mike Thompson. If you haven't heard, Steve Brown has left us. He has moved on with his career, and he is living his best life and enjoying the view from Richwood. We are less than a week away from knowing if it will be harder to change the Ohio Constitution. The August special election is Tuesday. One issue fills the short ballot. It asks voters if they want to require a 60% majority to pass future constitutional amendments. It would also make it much harder for citizens to qualify for the ballot, making them collect a minimum amount of signatures from all 88 counties, not just from half of the state's counties as they do now. While it would affect all future changes to the Constitution, make no mistake, this vote is designed to defeat the amendment Ohio voters will decide in November, the one that would enshrine abortion rights in the Constitution. In this last week of the campaign, both the yes and no sides are spending millions of dollars on TV ads. The yes side has ramped up its spending on TV. Both sides are doing all they can to get their voters to the polls, which is especially challenging because, you know, it's August. Joining us to discuss this strange election and this snollygostering is retired OSU political science professor Herb Asher. He has a PhD in the study of snollygosters. Herb, welcome to Snollygoster.
Good to be here.
So we haven't talked about this on this podcast. We haven't had you on to discuss issue one. I mean, snollygoster, by definition, is a shrewd, selfish politician. Redundant, we know. But this is truly a snollygoster move, what Ohio Republicans are doing this summer.
Absolutely.
This is happening in August, months after they made August elections largely illegal, and it is designed to thwart the November election.
That's right. And also designed to thwart any efforts to pass a constitutional amendment that would eliminate gerrymandering, too. So they have another interest here. But you're right, the most immediate thing is the November issue on reproductive rights.
So the conventional wisdom is that this will fail. The early voting trends, like 3-1 Democrats in the urban areas, particularly Franklin County where Columbus is, the thinking is that this is so unpopular and has mobilized Democrats, at least in early voting, that it will go down. Do you think it's a sure thing that the issue one fails?
No. I think it will fail, but a lot of our early indications are coming from, you know, those areas of Ohio in which the Democrats and progressives are stronger, and we haven't heard that much from rural Ohio yet. And a lot of people say, well, Herb, there's not that many votes in rural Ohio. I said, not in any single county. But if you have 60 rural counties and they all went heavily yes, who knows? They might be able to carry the issue. But I think it will go down because I don't think that there will be overwhelming support among some conservative voters who actually see this as a way to give more power to state government.
Yeah. If you look at the polls, the USA Today Ohio Network did a poll in early July. It showed that something like, 8 out of 10 Democrats were opposed to this, but only 35% of Republicans were opposed to it as well. So there were more Republicans who had doubts about issue one than there were Democrats.
Yes. Yeah.
The messaging, the no side's been pretty clear. They say this would ruin majority rule. This would take away the one person, one vote ideal in American democracy, and they've been just hammering that since the start of this campaign.
I think, they've missed a little bit of the importance of saying that we've had this right in our Constitution for citizens to take the initiative, when the legislature has failed us, and they've failed us on multiple occasions. So they're taking away this right, and why would you ever want to give up your rights? And you really are giving up the rights, not just the 60% that you'll need. You have to now get signatures in all 88 counties.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, why shouldn't you have to get signatures in all 88 counties? What's wrong with that?
It puts a burden on it that will be almost impossible to accomplish. And on top of that, they've also eliminated the cure period.
Yeah.
So imagine hypothetically that you've gotten signatures and you've gotten 5% of the vote in terms of signatures in 87 of the 88 counties. And in the 88th county, you're 100 signatures short. That kills the whole process. It ends it. There's no cure period where you can get that extra 100 votes. So basically, it's saying to the citizenry, you're giving up a right that's in your constitution right now. And it's not just the 60%. It's the other things that they've sort of snuck into it that don't get a lot, doesn't get a lot of attention. So
yeah, the irony is so rich in the you know, inconsistency. We don't hate to use the word hypocrisy, but the inconsistency is so rich in this debate, because the supporters of Issue 1 say this will keep special interests out of our Constitution. But if you're going to require that every county get 5% of their vote in signatures, the only folks who can afford that are affluent special interests.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, even now, the only way you get on the ballot is through affluent special interests, even with the current requirements.
That's right, that's right. And people have forgotten that after the casino success, if you call it that, we did put something in the Constitution that basically says that the citizen initiative shall not be used to create a monopoly.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, we've already taken care of part of the problem that the proponents are alleging is a problem.
And again, they claim that they're trying to keep out-of-state interests out of the Constitution when their biggest backer is a businessman from Illinois.
Sure.
And he's funding primarily all of it.
Yeah. And the irony here is that in the last week, we have seen polls on reproductive rights, but particularly polls on gun safety issues. And these polls have indicated that overwhelmingly, Ohioans are in favor of background checks. Overwhelmingly, Ohioans, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, gun owners and non-gun owners, are all in favor of reasonable gun safety laws. And what does the legislature do? It goes exactly in the opposite direction. Well, should this be a topic for a constitutional amendment? I would say normally you would hope that gun safety laws should be statutes, should be laws, not in the Constitution. But when you have such a blatant example of the legislature going exactly opposite of where Ohioans are on a very significant public policy issue about gun violence or whatever, then maybe you, in fact, need to go to the Constitution to put some of these in our Constitution. But you've made it impossible.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it's so rushed. There probably is a way to make it a little harder to change the Constitution, maybe require 55%, but in exchange, this is what the Modernization Commission looked at, raise it to 55%, which seems reasonable, but then also make it so the initiated statute process, where voters can change state law, has a little more teeth. Right now, the marijuana question likely would be on the ballot in November. If Ohioans vote to legalize recreational marijuana, the state legislature could come back the very next day and say it's now illegal again.
Yeah, I was on the Constitutional Commission, and we did indeed talk about that, as you said, and it never went anywhere.
So you can't change the law for five years or 10 years.
I mean, the whole argument was a lot of these things should really go into statute, into law, not to the Constitution. And since we do have initiated statutes in our as part of our constitutional rights or whatever, but again, as you just said, Mike, if right now if that marijuana issue passes by the voters approve it, the legislature the next day can say, "Oh, you're wrong, we're right." And so, if you could say here that that initiated statute is in fact good for 5 years, whatever, you know, some period of time, more than a year or two or whatever, then you can make the argument to people, okay, why don't you, in fact, go the initiated statute route rather than the initiated amendment route.
It also gives lawmakers incentive to follow the will of the people to avoid having the people tell them directly how to do their business. So,
although right now they seem perfectly happy to ignore the pollsters.
Yes.
But if there were a constitutional amendment on gun safety,
It likely would pass.
It would pass overwhelmingly.
Would it pass by 60? That's the question.
Yeah, it probably would, actually.
Yeah, that's the, you know.
That's one of the few that would.
Yeah. You know, you'd be careful what you wish for, I think. If, say, issue one were to pass and it now requires 60% to change the Constitution, what happens if the Abortion Rights Amendment passes by 60% in November? Hmm. Then the abortion rights opponents, they're really sunk because there's no way you're going to get 60% to change it back. So that's looking way down the road.
Well, there's already, I mean, just to be kind of cynical and skeptical, there's also your politicians. I can't even say the word. How do you say that again?
Snollygoster.
Snollygoster.
It's a 19th century term. Actually, it was first used here in Columbus. The Dispatch used it.
Good. Yeah. Well, there's already conversation, Mike, about if the Reproductive Rights Amendment passes, that some groups will try to put another amendment on the ballot maybe next year that will in fact say that abortions can only happen through the first 15 weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would pass, but if it were, if you needed 60%, it'd be very difficult to pass. But it's just outrageous. Why would they be proposing that? Because there's a lot of money to be made, and part of this is the people who are on, especially on the anti-abortion side, there are a lot of financial incentives here to.
It drives votes and it drives money.
Money, yep.
Getting back to the politics of this campaign, it appears from what we're seeing in reporting today, with a week to go, that the Yes campaign is going to be flooding the airwaves the last week of the campaign with their ads. And their ads, the messaging has become much more clear for the most part. They say it should be harder to change the Constitution. It should take more than 50% plus one. This is our foundational document. 60% is better than 50%. Will that be enough to push them over the top in this final week to get their vote out on August 8th?
I don't think so, but I think it's a smart move on their part. But you notice they're only telling part of the story because it's not just the 60%.
It's the signatures.
It's the signatures and the fact that there's no opportunity to get additional signatures if you fall somewhat short.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn to Frank LaRose here, Herb, for a moment. He is all in on this. He is the leading supporter, at least among statewide elected officials, of changing the Constitution. He has changed his positions on things during the course of this campaign, namely whether August elections are a good idea. If issue one loses big and then the abortion amendment passes by, say, 51, 52% in November, what does that do to his political career? He's running for Senate right now. Does he get credit among Republicans for fighting the good fight, or does he get blamed for enshrining abortion rights in the Constitution?
I don't think he gets a lot of credit because part of what he's done is undermine one of the assets he had 2 years ago, which seemed to be authenticity. He seemed to have a set of values and beliefs and relating to elections, election systems, and on so many different dimensions, including now the whole question of fraud. I mean, he first defended the quality of our election systems, and then over time, he sort of is trying to have it both ways, be sort of a Trumpster, but still say, you know, so he's changed his mind on the August election. He's now the leading person. Now, this is pure ambition. And he's made the judgment that the further right I can get on this, the better off I will be.
Isn't that the state of the Republican Party right now?
Well, but I think, you know, you'll have a challenge here because if you have some other right-wing opponents, or let's say very conservative opponents like Bernie Marino.
One of his declared competitors in the primary.
And one of them seems to be authentic, really believes what he's saying, while Frank LaRose seems to be simply, you know, politically making these statements for political gain. And then you have a Matt Dolan, another one of the candidates.
State senator.
Yeah, who seems to be a more thoughtful person and more consistent and more authentic. Then maybe, in fact, Frank LaRose has made a bad calculation. But maybe also he's trying now to get Trump's endorsement. I'm sure Bernie Marino is trying to get Trump's endorsement. And I know Matt Dolan knows he never will get Trump's endorsement.
Well, Matt Dolan will not. Frank LaRose just endorsed this week Donald Trump for president.
Yeah, yeah.
In 2024.
I mean, it's
you almost have to if you want to.
Yeah, well, but I'm just sort of chuckling because you wonder how much kissing up can you do.
You remember 2022, there was a lot of that in that Republican primary, and they were falling, with the exception of Matt Dolan, they were falling over each other. And finally, J.D. Vance got it, and he won the primary and then won the seat. So it worked out. We will see how issue one turns out. It's been an interesting campaign, an interesting summer, and it will just be the opening act of what will be an even nastier and more intense campaign over the abortion issue in November. Yeah. Herb Asher, retired political science professor at OSU. Thanks for joining us here on Snollygoster.
Good to be here.
We'll be right back.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.
This is Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest political move of the week or the shrewdest politician of the week. This week, Secretary of State Frank LaRose, as we said, the primary statewide office holder campaigning for issue one, is also running for U.S. Senate, as we mentioned. Well, this week, he challenged his Republican competitors for the seat, State Senator Matt Dolan and businessman Bernie Moreno, to donate $1 million to the issue one campaign. He put out that challenge. It seems to be an attempt to shame his GOP rivals. Bernie Moreno's campaign shot back and said he has quietly donated six figures to the issue one campaign already. And Moreno's campaign says he promises to match any donations made by Frank LaRose dollar for dollar, which is a not so subtle swipe at Frank LaRose's net worth. He has far fewer personal financial resources than Moreno, who in 2021 reported a net worth of up to $93 million. So to use the poker metaphor, for seeing Frank LaRose's donation bid and then raising it, Bernie Moreno gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. The wealthy Matt Dolan could probably also outbid Frank LaRose in this competition. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, on Bathroom Walls, wherever you get your podcast. And just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, and our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.